are in the midst of studying stress, anxiety, and depression, why Christians experience it, and why they do not need to experience it. Let's begin tonight with a word of prayer. We're moving into a new section of this study. So let's begin tonight in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we saw in Revelation that the believer who dares to walk simply by faith in your spirit, as opposed to religious activity of works and performance, enters into a realm of the spiritual warfare that can bring great distress. And tonight we find, Heavenly Father, that you have given everything necessary for us to go through these difficult times without it causing distress, anxiety, and depression in our soul and sadness in our life. I pray, Father, that your Spirit will be with me in teaching, and I pray that those believers who are in need of understanding your solution, who are experiencing stress, depression, these tapes will get into their hands, that your Spirit will open their eyes and their ears to the truth. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now tonight, we begin the last two sections of our study. There are two subjects that I want to cover, and then we'll close out the study. The first one that we're going to start tonight is something that we touched upon months ago, and that is the seven-headed dragon of our souls. We'll close the study. So we've already studied what to do about stress, anxiety, and depression. We have already handled the AMFM mindset. We have already handled how to tear down the strongholds in the soul. But we still have a couple of things I want to cover. And one of those is the seven-headed dragon in our souls. And then we'll close with who you are in Christ. We have referred to that a multitude of times, being who you are in Jesus Christ. It is Satan's objective, as far as a believer, is to keep you from being who you are in Christ. Keep you from living who you are in Christ. First of all, believing it, and then living it. You might know it, but that doesn't mean that you believe it and live it. And so we need to end the study with the reality of who you are in Christ. Some time ago, we introduced this extremely important aspect of the source of sad, the seven-headed dragon of the soul. Now, this metaphor, because that's what it is, this description, is, of course, taken from the archenemy of God, the seven-headed dragon found in the Bible, from the book of Job to the book of Revelation. We have noted the seven-headed dragon. We have not exhausted our study, as we will in Revelation, of his occurrences in Job and Psalms, Isaiah, all through the Bible. And so understanding the seven-headed dragon is just a springboard of our study of the seven-headed dragon in the soul. The seven-headed dragon of history, who is Satan, of course, seven heads being the seven empires that have raised their heads, the rise and fall of the seven empires, the last two being Rome 1, Rome 2, as the enemy of God and to try to know the plan of God. Now, he is the enemy of God. Therefore, if you're in Christ, a believer, then he is your enemy. And if you're walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, especially, you become especially his target. Now, let's go to the Bible to lay a foundation of what we're going to be doing that's going on in your soul. We've done this months and months ago, but turn with me quickly to Genesis chapter 1. It's time now not to just note it, it's time now to deal with it. Genesis chapter 1. When we study in Revelation, we will be studying a lot of these concepts that we have touched upon, in fact, for years here, but have not spent time in studying them, but we will. But what I want to do in Genesis chapter 1, a very important word, verse 2, and the earth became formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. I want to deal with the deep for a moment. That becomes a very crucial word, not only in the whole realm of the spiritual warfare, but in ancient mythology. You'll find the deep referred to in all of your ancient mythologies. And by ancient mythology, I'm not talking about classical theology, which is a Greece. A lot of people think when you think about mythology, they think about Greek mythology with all of the gods and goddesses of Greek mythology. No. I'm going back, we're going back 2, 4, maybe 5 centuries. So we're talking around the very first people on earth, the Egyptians, the Hittites, these type of Ugarits, these people. That's the mythology I'm dealing with, where the deep is very important. Now, the deep is a surging mass of water. Surging mass of water, and as it later becomes far beneath the levels of the earth. Now, this isn't where they were, but the throwing them into the deep. We're not here to study the deep, except to point out some analogies that we can make for our study. The deep is where God, in the prehistoric battle, cast Satan and all of the angels that followed him after the battle was won. He cast them into the deep. And so for a time period, the deep is just, if you can imagine, this crystallized water, and deep within this crystallized water is where Satan cast the demons, Satan and the fallen angels in prehistoric battle. Later on, the deep will be called the sea, just as darkness will be called night. The darkness of Genesis 1 will be called night, and the deep is going to become the sea. And we'll see in our study of Revelation, Revelation 13. If you remember Revelation 13, two beasts come. The first one, Revelation 13, is the beast out of the sea. That's the deep. Later on in Revelation, God, in describing the new heavens and the new earth, says there will be no more sea. Well, we have to understand why. What does God have against the sea? And this type of thing. But leave it to say that the deep is where God cast the seven-headed dragon, and he will rise up out of the deep. And Job, it talks about arousing Leviathan out of the sea, out of the deep. Who can arouse him out of the deep? Why, well, who is Leviathan? Well, he's the seven-headed dragon in ancient mythology, and he is aroused out of the waters, out of the deep. This is where God cast these angels, these demons that followed Satan. Now, also in the Bible, we have the seven-headed dragon, who is cast there and comes out. And we're going to put these two biblical concepts together, going to put them together to help us in our study of stress, anxiety, and depression. The seven-headed dragon, the supernatural creature Lucifer, rebelled against God, cast into the deep, and it's out of the deep that they will rise up throughout history. Now, in our next study, or the segment we're beginning tonight in SAD, we're going to borrow from these biblical concepts. First of all, let's take a look at the deep. What is the deep in our study? The deep is that area of our soul. Some people call it subconscious, and I have a problem with that. We probably do it, but I like the drama of what we're doing to ourselves and what's inside of us. I think every one of us have inside of our soul this deep, deep area where we have plunged a lot of things. You plunge them down there rather than deal with them. You plunge them down. This is particularly true of children who don't know how to handle it any other way. So we cast things down into the deep, and they keep rising up. And when they rise up, they're very ugly. They're very ugly. Then we have the seven-headed dragon. The seven-headed dragon. So we have the sense of the deep is within our soul, and that's what we call the deep, and into which we cast our own seven-headed dragon. Now, against this, again, please, this is not the seven-headed dragon in the Bible. This is simply by way of analogy. I'm just using this so in what I think is a dramatic way of seeing how horrible things are going on in our own flesh, especially when things happen to us and stress and depression come into play. Now, what is the seven-headed dragon? What is the seven-headed dragon in our soul? Since thoughts precede stress, anxiety, and depression. And I hope by now, if you've listened to the tapes to this point, I hope you understand and now believe and accept that we choose to be stressed. We choose to be depressed. Stress and depression are not involuntary. We choose to be stressed and depressed. One reason we choose to do so is to get back under control. We've already studied that. The flesh nature has to be in control. That's going to be very important in our study from here on. The flesh nature has to be in control because it senses its own vulnerability. I'm always interested in ladies who say, my husband is a control freak. Men who say, my wife is a control freak. Children who say, my parents are control freaks. We're all control freaks. Every one of us. We handle it differently. Because the flesh has to be in control. It's vulnerable. And being vulnerable must always be in control. And a lot of things happen when that control is threatened. Some of that we'll start tonight examining. So we cast the seven-headed dragon into the deep. Now, let's take a look at what the seven-headed dragon is, what's going on with it, and understand some things about it. So I want you to understand, this is simply an analogy to understand just how horrible things are inside of our flesh nature. But I think that those of you who hurt in your soul, those of you who listen to tapes, maybe here, listen to tapes, and suffer, experience stress and depression in your soul, that you're going to suffer stress, anxiety, depression, you'll find it seemingly impossible to stop the involuntary thoughts that come, that cause stress, anxiety, depression, that this analogy is going to help you. It's going to help understanding what's going on and how to stop it. Now, what is the seven-headed dragon that we cast into the deep of our souls, and then we raise it up and it becomes sad in our life? Thoughts precede stress, depression, anxiety. Stress and depression are voluntary. They are voluntary. Now what we're going to deal with is how they just rise up and they don't look like they're voluntary. When we cast the seven-headed dragon into the deep of our souls, what we've done is to build the fortresses that we've already studied on how to tear down. So we've already dealt with that. We've studied the strongholds. We've studied how to destroy them. But now I want to take a look at the seven-headed dragon that touches our lives. Okay, the seven-headed dragon that we cast in deep into our souls, certain things happen, people, in our childhood. Some children are abused. We have a lot of that in our society today. Sexual abuse, physical abuse, neglect. And by abuse, just you're a loser, you're no good, you're ugly, you're a slut, you'll never win, you'll never perform, you can't do it, you'll never amount to anything. All these kinds of things, all this goes into our soul, goes into the deep of our souls. And then we're neglected, controlled, always being controlled. All these things start forming the deep that's inside of us. We've not resolved them. was not taking biblical or spiritual care of them. Most of the time, often the case, we do not even know how to take care of the things because we're too young, we're children. No one's taught us how to properly take care of them. This is regardless of age. Some people think they're taking care of it spiritually, but then it just rises up somewhere along the line. Some people try to take care of it by the world's ways of different things that the world offers. Meditation, all of this type of thing that goes on in the world today to get rid of yoga, all these things to take care of all of this, but it doesn't take care of it. There's drugs, all that type of thing. Or we just simply choose not to resolve it. We simply choose to, I'm going to be in control, I'm going to overrule it, and this type of thing, and that doesn't take care of it either. These things are not limited. They cause stress and depression, not limited just to our childhood, but in many cases, just where it starts, but it can be anywhere in life. You start living into life and work, college, school, military, divorce. People keep telling you no good. Churches tear you down. And all these things start building up. Certain drives, compulsions that come from the subconscious from down in the deep start raging inside of your soul. Now, let's take a look at the seven-headed dragon inside of us. I put it on the board. We've looked at it before, but it's been a long time, so let's just start. Things we're going to be looking at in regard to the seven-headed dragon in the soul. The seven-headed dragon that we're going to look at is fear, hate, anger, jealousy. I put guilt and shame together. And I'll show you why as we go through this. Guilt and shame, one of the most difficult, horrible things to be under in your life. Bitterness and resentment. I put those two together. Finally, arrogance. That we cast down into the deep. So the seven-headed dragon in our soul, fear, hate, anger, jealousy, guilt and shame, bitterness, resentment, and arrogance. All inside of our soul. Now, I want to make a statement. Is this all of these? No. There are others, obviously. These are seven major ones. And it makes it nice and clever, nice and cute to have a seven-headed dragon to pick out seven. So, there are others, and we all know that. This is to give you an idea of what's going on inside of our soul, and these are the ones we deal with day in and day out. Fear, hate, anger, jealousy, guilt and shame, bitter and resentment, and arrogance. These are the seven-headed dragon that exist inside of us. Now, they are in the mind. I want to know two things about the seven-headed dragon. Two things that are very important in the study. First of all, and just always bear this in mind, the seven-headed dragons, first and foremost, they're protectors. They are protectors. They are protectors. All of these are protectors. Now, what do I mean by that? What do I mean that they are protectors? Fear is a protector. Hate, anger, jealousy, guilt, shame, all of these are protectors. They are protectors of your flesh self. They are protectors of your flesh self. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. But that's what they are. They are protectors of your flesh self. It's take jealousy to make my point. So if you feel threatened, somebody's complimented, somebody's promoted, somebody's praised, what happens to us inside? Jealousy comes right to the front. Wait a minute, what about me? not just limited to relationships, even though that's where it'll go between a husband and wife, man and woman, all this type of thing. But this is a protector to life. You're being threatened. You sense that you're being threatened, so jealousy comes to play to protect. Comes to play to protect. Second, most important thing I want you to know about the seven-headed dragon. When you're experiencing fear, hate, anger, jealousy, guilt, shame, bitterness, resentment, and arrogance, you are living under Satan's lie. So please just be aware of those things about these, the seven-headed dragon. If you are experiencing them, you are living in the flesh because these are protectors of the flesh. And secondly, you are living under Satan's lie. Now, what is Satan's lie then? Satan's lie, my self-worth, is made up of my performance plus others' opinion of me, especially certain others. Think with me now. Think with me. My self-worth is my performance plus others' opinion of me. And we've dealt with this. This is found in the Bible from beginning to end. This is the whole foundation of the law, your performance. If you do, then I'll do for you. Opinion of others, all the way to the Bible, from Job, where three friends trust him, to where Christ said, "How can you trust you? How can you have faith in me when you seek glory from one another?" You'll care about others' opinion. So, now let's, so that you can see, I'm going to be doing this all the way through, but just jumping right to it so you can see it. You have the seven-headed dragon working. Let's take a look. Fear. Fear of what? That's me now. Fear is one of the first head of our seven-headed dragon. Fear of failure. Fear of performance. Failure in performance. Can't perform. Fear that. Secondly, fear of inadequacy. I can't please. I can't live up to their expectations. You're living under Satan's lie. You're living in the flesh. It's very simple to realize. You're living in the flesh. Fear wants to protect the flesh. Wants to protect it because it's living under Satan's lie. My self-worth is my performance. I have fear of my performance. My self-worth is opinion of others, certain others, husband, wife, parents, preachers, others around us, our friends, whoever these certain others are, whoever these certain people others are, their opinion of us is the self-worth. And so there's a fear of letting them down, a fear of not living up to what they want. Many children, unfortunately, are reared in this kind of environment, never able to quite make enough touchdowns or do good enough ballet or make good enough grades or sustain this or do that, whatever it is. Have the right friends or whatever is going on with the parents. So there's always the fear of their opinion. So, getting back, the seven-headed dragon, I'm going to go through with you and show you how all of these, guilt and shame related to the Satan's lie. Bitterness, resentment related to Satan's lie. All of these, and just go through anger related to Satan's lie. Jealousy, Satan's lie. You're in the flesh. These are protecting the flesh because the flesh is threatened already by its very nature because of the five things that we studied when we began the whole study. The five things about your flesh, don't forget that. Those five things that is continually being corrupted. No matter how long you've been a Christian, your flesh is worse today than it was the day you accepted Christ as Savior. The people above all else, incurably wounded, insane, and full of evil. So congratulations. That nature feels threatened all the time and has to be in control. It has got to be in control. That's the only way it feels safe. And when it is not in control, it gains control by stress, anxiety, and depression. And we studied how that sounds real. That's exactly what depression is. It's putting you back into control. It's exactly what stress is. It's exactly what it's putting you back in control. So, the seven-headed dragon, protectors of the flesh self. That's what they are designed to do, to protect the flesh self. Now, quickly, by way of contrast, what has God given to us? Because there are two natures inside of us, the flesh self, our flesh self, and our new spiritual creation that we are in Christ, the new man, as it were. So there is inside of us the new man and the old man. To protect the old man, seven-headed dragon. Protecting the new man. What protects the new man? Just give it a shot. Okay, what's the result of faith? Spiritual love. Spiritual love, and I'm going to show you this, spiritual love protects the new man. Just protects it. When the more we walk in the filling of the Spirit and allow Him to fill us with the spiritual love, people are going to realize there is no place for FAD in your life. You're not threatening. You're not performing, and you're not threatening. You're peace. That's what love does. Now we can talk about all of the fruit of the Spirit, have seven-headed dragon, and have the nine angels or nine something of Galatians chapter 5 of the fruit of the Spirit. But primarily, the protector of your new man is spiritual love. Loving as Christ loved. Out of love, you can lower yourself all the way down to being a servant. Doesn't bother you. God became man. Man died on a cross. Why? Spiritual love. Love. Given to him by the Spirit. No stress. No depression about not being, having all of the things of God when he became man. Setting those things aside. So, here are the protectors of our flesh self. So, your life is threatened in some way. Living under Satan's lie. Let's go back. You're living under Satan's lie in some way. Your life is threatened. Your flesh person is threatened. So fear is going to come into play. Let's relate this more directly to our study and get more personal. Okay? Let's go to Satan's lie. I'd like to have both of these, have two of these now, and have them both on one deal. Satan's lie, my self-worth, my performance, plus others' opinion of you, fear of performance. You failed. People, let's get right to our study. You sin. And then you fear God. You didn't perform for God. You didn't perform for God. And so, since you didn't perform for God and you're working under Satan's lie, even though you're relating it to God, you're living under his lie, because you do what you say it is, that my self-worth before God is that my performance for God and God's opinion of me. That's Satan's lie. And it's going to cause you stress, anxiety, and depression. Because when you sin and fail, what's going to happen? Fear is going to set in. It's going to start protecting. And of all things, it's going to be fear of judgment from God. God's going to get me. God's going to get me. That's why John makes it very clear in 1 John, we'll see it later, 1 John chapter 4, where love is, there is no fear. And what's important, a lot of people know that verse, but what's important is what it says, no fear of judgment. No fear of judgment. I'm going to show you how we have this, when we work this way with each other, it's not so much a fear of judgment as it is a fear of what's going to happen to me by them and how they're going to perceive me and all this type of thing. Now, as we start with fear, we're going to do with fear. Now, let me say this about the seven-headed dragon. I think if you look at this sheet here, obviously, we're not going to be able to cover any kind of exhaustive study. It's going to take me seven classes right here alone. And that's about all I want to do, one class for each one, just to give you a feel of what's going on. Fear, hate, anger, jealousy, guilt, shame, bitterness, resentment, arrogance, all of these things. And we're just going to note a few things about all of them, but I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. And remember that Isaiah is a deception is extremely important between God and Satan, and therefore extremely important for us. Isaiah chapter 41, one of the most powerful verses on fear in the Bible, verse 10. Now, I've got the New American Standard on my chart here, on my paper, but there's one place I love the King James. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. The New American Standard says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously, there's that anxiousness that we have, stress, anxiety, depression. Do not look anxiously about you, which goes with fear, for I am your God. Our God will strengthen you. Surely our God will help you. Once we start to grasp this, who you are in Christ, I'm going to show you there is no fear. There's no fear of failure. There's no fear in performance. There's no fear of what others think of you. If you live who you are in Jesus Christ, not people. People can destroy you. People can cause great stress and depression in your life. Don't let them. It's a choice. And so, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. How do we not fear, though? How do we not fear? That's where we studied in Isaiah. Keep your mind set on Him. Keep walking by faith, trusting Him. Thou wilt keep in perfect peace. Fear and Satan's lie. See, fear feeds. Fear feeds. It's like a cancer. It feeds off of Satan's lie. You have got to be living. Listen to me now. You're suffering from stress and depression. Fear. You've got to be living under Satan's lie if you're experiencing fear. If you're experiencing stress, anxiety, depression, but staying with our seven-headed dragon, if you experience these things, you're living under Satan's lie. It feeds off of it. In fact, all of these feed off of Satan's lie. My self-worth, my performance, others' opinion. People, once we grasp, and I've repeated it, I know it, and I hope I've repeated it to where you know it, like you know your name, Satan's lie. Because the more you are aware of how damaging it is, how controlling it is, how easy it is to live under it, the more you'll guard yourself against it. It is so, so easy to slip back into Satan's lie. Let me tell you how easy it is in our society today. It's as easy for a lot of people as looking in a mirror, I don't like what I see, and become depressed. That's how easy it is. It is as easy as looking in a mirror. A little more work, it's as easy as looking at your bank account. To slip right back into Satan's lie. It's as easy as looking at the circumstances in your life. It's as easy as listening to one of Job's friends. That's how easy it is to slip back into Satan's lie. It doesn't take much for us to slip back into our flesh self, and the moment you do that, these protectors have got to come. These protectors have got to come and protect you. Now, we studied these protectors. We studied these protectors under another word as the immune system of our flesh, from the immune system. See, our physical body is protected. That's the physical immune system. Then we have the flesh self, that has a protector, seven-headed dragon. Then we have our spiritual self, that also has a protector called spiritual love. We need a protector. That's one of the greatnesses of being God. God doesn't need a protector. Creature does. creature does. So our very physical nature has to have protection. And I all know, the people so bored many years ago. I did an exhaustive study on the immune system. I knew more than you wanted to ever know. And I even met with doctors who worked on immune system that I happened to know, and looked at the way that I was going to do it. Oh, that's really great. Want a copy of it? Da-da-da-da-da-da. And everybody got bored, yawning. All right, let's go. So I don't do that anymore. I just use it quickly as a reference. Most everybody today, with AIDS, we know about the immune system. You get something, you're cut. The immune system just sends out the T cells and more the rest of that area. You get a bacteria, more in the T cells. No. There's an alarm system goes off, and more that brigade of T cells, the rest of that area. It's a foreign product. Foreign something in your body. Bacteria, something like that. So the antigen comes in. It's going to help you, protect you. What's AIDS? What's a whole breakdown of your whole immune system over your whole body? And it just starts falling apart. Immune system is extremely important. Only in the last, I would say, 50, maybe not even that long, probably in the last 35 years, we've learned more about the immune system than we've known throughout all history because of AIDS. People started charging in, and there's already some work, but really started charging in, putting a lot of money. We've learned a lot about our immune system. Immune system, protecting it and making it healthy. We found products and things like an Herbalife. We've got products now that work just perfect. Targets a healthy immune system. It's important. It's essential. Look at somebody who has AIDS. Look how their whole body looks. Not just their arm. Not just their shoulder, their leg. The whole body. That's how important it is. Well, your flesh self has a protective system. And that is the seven-headed dragon. And so you know when these things happen, I'm living in the flesh. And I'm living under Satan's lie. People, you're not going to make it. You are going to have stress, anxiety, and depression if you're living in the flesh and you're living under Satan's lie. And you won't be living under Satan's lie when you're filled with stress. Because in the flesh, you're going to live under Satan's lie. And then our spiritual self has an immune system called spiritual life. Called spiritual life. It protects the whole you. And we're seeing why. It protects the spiritual being. Everything about the immune system of spiritual love protects our whole spiritual self. And we've seen it, and we'll study that some more. Probably not in this study, but we have studied it in other things. Okay. My self-worth equals my performance through a failure. My self-worth equals or made up of others' opinion of me through not measuring up. And this destroys people. Fear of failure in home. Fear of failure in marriage. So many parents are so critical of their children that the child grows up with fear of failure. Fear of not measuring up. Concentrate on failure. Just concentrate on failure. The worst things a football player can do is concentrate, a runner concentrate on not fumbling. You're going to fumble. I never forget, and I'm not making a big deal about it, never any kind of a star, but I played fullback running, and I fumbled one play, and went back and I said, don't worry about it, and then we went back, after came back out on the field, don't fumble now, just don't worry about it, and well, you're going to fumble, that's no way you're not going to fumble. But that's where a lot of people live, thinking about not failing, not measuring up. So we've got to do a fear of failure in marriage, fear of failure to perform as a wife, fear of failure to perform as a husband, as a mother, as a father, fear of marriage. We live in a society now, so many people so fearful, performing sexually, performing financially, providing this way, providing that way, constantly living under fear, taking care of it with a few, five, four, five, six drinks. Taking care of it with volume, taking care of it with tablets, taking care of it with pills, taking care of it with all kinds of things. Get medicine to do this, get drugs to do that, but you don't need to. You need to get out from under Satan's lie. and get back into the truth of who you are in Christ. You need to get out of the protectors of the flesh self. Fear of marriage of husbands, fear of marriage of women, and being the best kind of mother she can be, and making the marriage work, and all this type of thing. Fear of performing spiritually, fear of performing for the Lord. Can't perform for the Lord. I can't do this, can't do that. Maybe your friends told you you can't. Pastor's telling you a loser, no good, all these things. So there is a great fear of failure. Okay, let's take five things in closing. One. We're going to look at right now how fear controls one's life. We're going to look at five things about how fear controls a person's life. One, this often determines what many Christians will dare to try or not try. This fear keeps them from walking by faith, keeps them from listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit because they fear failure. The Holy Spirit says, do this or do that, and they fear failure, and they immediately cut him off. Immediately out of the power of the Spirit. You see how Satan can work this? You see how the flesh can work this? Keep us from being who you are in Christ? The Holy Spirit just puts out to you that you're a young man, or an older man, doesn't matter, but become a pastor, become a missionary. No, I can't do it. I fail. Boom, you've just cut off the Holy Spirit. Why'd you cut him off? Fear. And then we say we're not led by the Spirit to do it. No, you're not. You cut him off by fear. Secondly, worry. You notice I don't have worry up here in the seven-headed dragon? It's going to be related to almost all of them. Worry is born out of fear. Fear of failure. Fear of not measuring up. So worry sets in. Three. Out of fear arises stress, anxiety. Anxiety that I might fail. It just builds up inside of us. I might fail in some important area of life, at work, home, school, marriage, spiritual life. Therefore, so many get under stress, stop listening to the leading of the Spirit. Some people, out of fear, they just are so perfectionist and they're so afraid they're going to fail that they just constantly put everything they have into it. And you know what the problem of that is? They never enjoy their success. They never enjoy it because it's all done out of fear. I've got to perform. I've got to be the top. I've got to be the best. Fear of failure. My parents will think I'm a failure. My wife, my friends, my husband, whoever. And they just keep going and keep driving and keep driving. I've got to, and this is true in the spiritual realm. I've got to be the best pastor. I've got to be the best missionary. Got to be the best teacher. Got to be the best person working. And never enjoy whatever you're doing in life. Because you're afraid. All out of fear. Oh, you're successful. You bet you are. But you never enjoy it. Because you're driven by the fear of failure, the fear of what others will think of you if you do fail. And you can't have that. And so you do succeed, but you never enjoy it. You never settle back because you're so afraid of failure. You can't handle that. The most wonderful things in a spirit-filled life are we have things like 1 John chapter 1 verses about 5 or 6 through chapter 2, too. We're going to fail. That's okay. It's okay. It's not all over. God doesn't hate us. God doesn't stop us. He's provided everything for you just to get up, get back into who you are in Christ, and move on. But not the flesh, and not Satan's lie. They can't handle that. Can't handle that. What's the whole basis of the Mosaic Law? You've got to do it all, don't you? You can't break them a little bit. Boy, you better stay awake and stay on there and walk that straight and narrow, because if you step out of line one little bit, off of your head, it's over. You got to keep the whole law, be perfect as I am perfect. And that requires a whole lot of work to strive at that. Always fear of failing. Fear of what people are going to think of you if you do fail. I know some preachers like that. I know people like that. Afraid not to succeed. Not doing it out of spiritual love, not doing it out of the filling of the Spirit, but so afraid they're going to fail. Sir, add to this, when you do fail, but when you live under Satan's lie, when you do fail, that's when depression sets in. That's when severe depression starts setting into your soul. And we studied depression and stress and the difference of the two. After stress is failed, and all the success that stress will give you, depression will set in. Satan's got you. Satan's got you. And Bonnie 5, fear of failure causes severe self-judgment. Highly critical of self. And your self-worth is based upon your performance and others' opinion of you. You're always highly critical of your own performance and what you're doing and what you're not doing. Ever hear anyone say, or the expression, person's fear of fear of flying, fear to fly? It's not true. It's not a fear of flying. It's a fear of crashing. That's what it's a fear of. It's not a fear of flying. That's a wrong terminology. It's a fear of crashing. It's a fear of death. This type of thing is very important to be able to do in your soul. To be able to say, fear of crashing. It's not the fear of flying. Fear of flying is not the problem. Fear of crashing. And why do we fear crashing? Why do we fear crashing? It might die. Right? Right? Might die. What is that? It's the flesh self. So the fear is to protect the flesh self. So therefore, fear of things like fear of flying, and I know, if you're listening, if you get this on tape, and you want to argue with me, don't. You just believe if you want to believe, because I know what I'm talking about here. But people fear of flying. Let me tell you what this does. This puts, this fear of flying, not getting on the plane, puts the flesh self back into control. You're now in control. Get your feet off the ground, up in the air, and a thing you can do about it. You're going down, and a thing you can do about it. That dumb pilot up there is killing us. And there's a thing I can do about it. I am in no control whatsoever. At least, driving a car, I'm in control. But I get up there in that plane, I've given up all control. It's related to the flesh. It's related to protecting self. It's not a fear of flying, it's a fear of crashing. It's a fear of death. It's a fear of I'm not in control anymore. I've given up control. I'm not going to give up control. People, please remember, and don't get upset at these kind of things, please remember the flesh self. It's highly motivated by control. It's so aware of all of its vulnerabilities. It's so aware of how vulnerable it is to destruction itself. And it's got to fight and control as much as it can. And then we saw already, control doesn't satisfy it either. But this is all the stuff that's going on with this fear factor playing into our lives. Now, in closing here, what is fear? Fear is the absence of faith. Fear is the absence of faith. So now let's take a little journey here and see what we've got. Fear, one, protector of the flesh. Okay, two, under Satan's lie. Three, fear is the absence of faith. See, there's only one thing that you should learn to fear in life, and only one thing. One thing and only one thing. And that is the fear of not trusting Him in every area of your life. That's the only thing that you and I ought to ever fear, is the fear of not trusting Him. Let's close in Hebrews chapter 4. Let's close in Hebrews chapter 4. People want you so much just to be who you are in Christ, not who you are by the standards of the world, by performance, by marriages, by finance, by the way you look, by success as the world sees it, but by who you are in Jesus Christ. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, what's the only thing we ought to fear? Is the fear of not walking by faith. Therefore, coming off of verses 18 and 19, unto whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? What is the disobedience? No faith. And so we see that they were not able to enter. Why? What is the disobedience? Because of the absence of faith. Verse 1, chapter 4. That was the end of chapter 3, I'm sorry. Now, first verse of chapter 4. Therefore, since we now know that the absence of faith is going to keep us from entering into that rest, therefore let us fear what? Least, while a promise remains of entering his rest. In other words, not trusting him. Any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news gospel preached to us just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith. Was not united by faith. See, the only thing you need to fear is the fear of not trusting him. So let's take a closing look. What is fear? Fear is protection of your flesh person. So if you're in fear, you know you're in the flesh. Fear lives off of Satan's lies, performance, plus opinion of others. Fear is the absence of faith. Well, we'll resume here next Tuesday evening. Let's close in a word of prayer. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father. You looked down and you saw our eternal state and our disharmony with you, and you have provided for that so simply and so easily in your Son. And then you look down, Heavenly Father, and you see how our flesh self can keep us from being who we are in Christ. And in your grace and in your love, you provided for even the solution to that. To just walk by faith. If we'll live who we are in Christ, there'll be no fear. No fear of here, no fear of judgment. Just a total absence of fear. What an awesome God you are, Father, because this results in the absence of stress and depression in our soul. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.